Shalom, welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 21. Some psalms are connected. There's a certain order in the way the psalms are presented. We learned this idea in Psalms 1 and 2. We said, one is talking about the individual, and the second one is talking about the nation. We'll learn this in Psalms 80 and 81, and Psalms 27 and 40, and throughout the Tehillim, there are going to be some psalms that are interconnected. Others are not like almost one, but rather they're distinct poems, but nevertheless their theme is connected. I would call them sister psalms, as they complement each other in theme and message. And it's possible that the psalmist is writing this next psalm thinking about the first one that he had written at a different time, but with the same theme in mind. We will encounter such psalms throughout our journey as well, something we rarely appreciate when reading Tehillim as part of the liturgy, which picked out the choice psalms from the Psalter. We are familiar with Tehillim that our sages put in our tefillah, but not the one right before it or the one right afterwards. I believe Psalm 20 and 21 are sister psalms. As David continues where he left off concerning the nature of the king and his relationship with God. Verse 1 is the exact same introduction title as Psalm 20, verse 1. And verse 2 continues with the same word which might have been the guiding word in the previous psalm. If we remember, we ended Psalm 20 with Hashem Hoshia, HaMelech Ya'anenu B'yom Karenu. God brings salvation. And now we open verse Psalm 21. In the second verse, it says, Adonai be'uzcha yismach melech u'bi'ishuatcha mayagel ma'ot. God, by your power, the king rejoices. In your salvation, he takes great pleasure. We can't help but think that David, coming back from the victorious battle, sits then in his palace and composes a song to God, recognizing the unique position he's in as king, who is supported by Israel and by God. And therefore, if Psalm 20 was the moments before the great battle that's about to take place, and he writes a psalm in that song, in that moment, Psalm 21, perhaps, is the flip side, when he comes back and he's able to look back on what he's accomplished. The psalm divides into two sections. The first, in which he calls out to God directly, verses 2 to 7, and focusing on the joy the king feels from this warm relationship, the word simcha begins and concludes this section. Thus, the words are, as we mentioned, Hashem be'ozcha yismach melech, the king will rejoice, the king will be happy. In the next verse, it says, Tavat libo natatalo, v'areshet sfatav balmanata sela. His heart's desire you gave him, the requests of his mouth you have not prevented. In other words, he's talking to God and he says that the king is so happy. Now he's speaking the king is in third person, this concept of the king. Maybe it's talking about the king. And he says that the king, anything he wanted, he was given. Anything he thought, God did not prevent it. Ki tikadmenu brachot or birchot tov, tashit l'rosho ateret paz. You send him all good blessings. You place on his head a golden crown. Chaim sha'al mimcha natatalo. Orech yamim le'olam ve'ed. The life that was borrowed, you gave it to him. An eternal life, a long life. Gadol kvodo bishuatecha hod vadar teshave alav. Great is the king's honor with your salvation. Once again, Yeshua. Beauty and splendor you gave him. And finally, kitishiteu birchot la'ad, tichadeu b'simcha et panecha. When you bestow upon him the eternal blessings, you will make him happy seeing your face. All of these verses are directed at God and kind of showing the gratitude at how God treats the king, the Messiah, the chosen one, and how that has a ripple effect on Israel. The second half of the psalm turns to the nation and once again brings the subject, the king, who has faith in God, and through that sublime love, the Chesed Elyon, says that he will never falter. It's interesting how many times we already have encountered David's concern with faltering, falling, letting his nation down, letting God down, and realizing that with God, there is no faltering. So the verses begin with Ki HaMelech. Interesting to note that each section begins with the Melech. So Mizmor that is dedicated to the king. Ki HaMelech botech ba'Adonai u'b'chesed elyon bal yimot. For the king has faith in God and in the kindness, in the kindness of the heavens, bal yimot, he will not falter. Timtza yadcha lechol oivecha, yimincha timtza sonecha. Your hand will be on all the enemies, your right hand against all of those who hate you. Tishitemo kitanur esh le'et panecha Adonai be'apo yivlaim v'toch lemesh. Their descendants will be, you will place them like a burning fire in front of your face, God, in his wrath will swallow and consume them. Priyamo me'eretz ta'abed v'zaram mibnei adam, their descendants will be erased from this world, their seed extinct. Kinatu alecha ra'a chashvu mizima bal yuchlu, those who sought to strike you down with evil thoughts, they were unable. Tishitemo shechem b'meitarecha techonen al pneihem. You gave them your back, unable to put you in their crosshairs. Your arrows fell on their faces. And finally, Ruma Adonai be'uzecha nashira unizamra gvuratecha. Rise up, God, in your power. We then will sing and rejoice in your strength. The king, in a society dominated by monarchy, the king and nation have a symbiotic relationship, each one fueled by the other. The king brings them victory on the battlefield and hopefully riches. The nation submits, provides, rallies, gives moral and psychological support. After all, there is no king without the subjects. This idea was developed in the previous psalm, in Psalm 20. But from the perspective of the king and nation in a joint ceremony of preparation for the battle, Psalm 21 begins in a more philosophical way, speaking about the joy the king receives in knowing that the nation supported him and continues to do so. It begins and ends with God's power as the source of what brings the king's happiness, using the same word, the uzecha, in the beginning and the end of the mizmor. It also concludes the same way Psalm 20 concluded, with a foray into the plural of saying, we will rejoice, we will sing in your strength. Once again, we see another facet of the Psalms. The relationship between the king and God together with the nation is expressed in these two verses and not related to in many other Psalms this way. If this is David, we see him being able to take a more objective view of his reign, his ability to succeed stemming directly from God. Any notion of the might of the king is rejected and God's might is inserted. When the king recognizes his oaths, his power, and that it comes from God, then he'll be successful. And this brings joy to him and to the kingdom. The moment that awareness fades away, the problems begin, as we will surely see in the next psalm, Psalm 22, and many more which follow. Shalom.